Well, members of the Park City Council and Summit County Council gathered around a table yesterday to discuss and debate on what happens to the transit system and the relationship in the future. On the phone with us now to talk a little bit about that, I have Summit County Council member Chris Robinson. Good morning, Chris.
How are you, Leslie?
I'm doing great, thanks. So, as we heard, I mean, both Park City and Summit County want a good transit system. Both entities think regional transit will be coming in the future. Is there a bone of contention here?
I think this is a small bone. One of the issues, of course, is how it's governed in the future, whether it's on an interlocal agreement where Park City is in control and we buy services. And then the other model would be to create some kind of a governance authority, which I think is where Summit County would prefer to be. But I thought it was a very good meeting. You know, there were a few passionate portions of it, but it was good to get on the table some of the issues, I thought.
So given the city's announcement that their system is at capacity, how does that affect what the county wants to do?
Well, we're not asking to add anything to that capacity right at the moment, you know, in the short run. But what we want to do in the longer period is expand the system. And so then if it's at capacity and they have no interest in being part of a expanded system, then we'll have to do that on our own. They say they want to be participants in a regional system, but sort of my takeaway from it all is that they would like the interlocal agreement amended and revised and have it go forward, which perpetuates the status quo, and then have us work, and they would be a participant in some fashion in working with us on a regional system. So, you know, we're gonna get into it further, but we don't have a burning need right now that we're pushing them to expand capacity. It's more in the big picture of we think we need more regionalism, more of a regional system.
So it sounds like if the county wants to improve service and routes in the basin, the county has to set up its own system, buy its own buses, build its own transit barn?
Well, there's maybe a fine line between adding some service on existing routes or adding a few routes in the basin that might be part of the existing district versus from whole cloth creating new routes. You know, if we were to take what we heard at face value last night and we wanted to run a new route to Colville or something, we'd be on our own if we want to do that tomorrow. But we shouldn't read too much into what happened yesterday. It's one data point in a procession of meetings and negotiations and figuring out what we all want.
So there was some apprehension from City Council member Tim Henney, for instance, that regional authority will overrule the sovereignty of the city. What's your response to that and his concern?
Well, city loves its home rule, I guess, as does everyone. He was specifically in the meeting concerned about putting a transit hub as a terminus for bus rapid transit at the Arts and Culture District and also a proposed park and ride at Quinn's Junction. And he was viewing those as kind of land use decisions. And, you know, we view those as part of a transit system decision, which is not to say that a transit district's not going to come in and muscle its way into the city and put things where the city doesn't want them. But I think they, you know, they would lose some control. That's the whole question is, does the city want to be a sole proprietor or does it want to be a partner? sole proprietor has is omnipotent, has its own, it doesn't share authority, it just does what it wants, doesn't have to consult with its partner. Partnership is a two-way street, and where there's some risk because you've got now another party you have to deal with, at least one more party. And I think that's one of the decisions is do they have to be in control of everything regarding transit within their boundary, or are they willing to, be part of a more collaborative effort?
So what do you think happens next?
Well, I think we're going to, we have this joint transportation advisory board that has two city councilors and two county councilors, and we're going to, and the staff and JTAB, as we call it, are going to continue to work to try to bring some proposals back, I suppose, that the two councils can endorse.
Okay, real quick, I wanted to ask, any new developments occurring with the Central Wasatch Commission? I know something
we closed the public comment period on March the 1st on what a mountain transportation system should look like, not necessarily modes, but what are the characteristics of an ideal system. We have a meeting on the 9th of March where we're going to review those comments, and our goal by the end of the year is to have a mountain transportation kind of blueprint that we around which we have consensus, which is a hard thing to do because there's a lot of factions that have strong opinions, some of them contrary to each other.
Okay, Chris, I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Summit County Council Member Chris Robinson. It's 8:28. And rather than a call-in, Katie Wang coming in to join us here to tell us about this weekend screening. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Yeah, so you've got Little Women?
Yes, actually we've got two films this weekend. Little Women is going to be our weekend feature film, and then we have a Books to Movies film on Saturday, a matinee. But Little Women is probably hopefully a story that people are familiar with. Louisa May Alcott's kind of classic tale of Jo and her sisters. And this is Greta Gerwig's kind of modern update on it. The book has been produced as a play, as a movie, about 20 different times. And what's really interesting about Greta Gerwig, who famously did Lady Bird, is that she looks at it through a modern lens while retaining some of those classic elements. So telling the story of the four sisters and kind of the family connections that they have, their love of community and kind of finding their voice. I think Jo is a character most of us can relate to as kind of a modern woman trying to buck the trends of society. And she tells it with a non-linear storyline. So you're looking at them in kind of the present day and then reflecting back on the earlier part of their lives. So what's interesting about her doing that is it kind of refreshes and gives you a different perspective on a story that many of us know so well. So that'll be showing Friday and Saturday at 8 and then again Sunday at 6. We want to thank PJ Builders for their support of that. And then on Saturday, we have Storm Boy as our matinee screening, part of Books to Movies program, which we do with Park City Library. And this is based on Colin Teal's book, so another film based on a book, and it's about a young boy growing up with his father on a remote coast of Australia, and the four pelicans that he befriends and raises, one of them called Mr. Percival. So it's about wildlife conservation, another story kind of about family connections, and kind of his love of his father, and certainly the land that he lives in. So some great films that we've got coming up this weekend, and some great films we have for the rest of March. Yeah. So we programmed out through the end of the month.
Okay, a big Academy Award winning film, 1917, coming up.
Yes, so 1917, and it's interesting this time of year when you're programming films because it's really a celebration of the best films of the year. Little Women was nominated for 6 Academy Awards, 1917 nominated for 10, it won 3. And this is a World War I themed film, and it's about two young officers who were sent out into the field to cross over into German territory. They're British soldiers, and their assignment is to deliver a message that will stop an invasion across the German lines that they think is a trap. So if they are successful, they will save 1,600 people, and of course one of them is the brother of one of the young soldiers that's sent out. So Sam Mendes is the director, just a fantastic filmmaker, really intense film.
And I also, I've heard this quote, I read this quote, and it's so real in the terms of all of us, I mean, just the most of us, I mean, we know about war through cinema.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, fortunately for most of us, and particularly for World War I, most of the people that fought in the war are no longer alive. Many of us have never, you know, fought in a war, but really kind of thinking about, you know, the sacrifice, the human sacrifice, and just the intensity of being out there, you know, your body, you know, in harm's way, and the sacrifices that were made to protect their fellow soldiers and you know, for the love of country. That's why they're out there. So certainly a story we want to remember, and Sam Mendes has kept it alive in a very powerful way. So we're excited to bring that to the screen.
Okay, and then another foreign cinema for kids coming up on March 14th, School of Life.
Yep, so School of Life, this one will be a French film, and it's set in 1920s France, and it's about a young orphan who's adopted by a couple who live in the countryside, and just how he kind of discovers his, you know, how the world opens up to him by being in this remote part of the country, and just kind of his love for nature. And, you know, it's interesting because he's on this farm and, you know, they're killing animals to eat. And, you know, that kind of horrifies him. But, of course, so there's certainly a strong conservation theme in that as well, of just trying to preserve the animals and the community that's there, this kind of rustic lifestyle. So a beautifully shot film. It is rated PG. It'll be at 4 o'clock. It's also a free screening on March 14th.
Okay. I wanted to ask, though, Paradise played at the Park City Film Series. Our Parasite, God, I call it Parasite.
Okay. Yeah.
This was the huge Oscar winner. So how was it that you got that before the Oscars?
I saw it at the Telluride Film Festival. I loved it. It was one of my favorite films of the year. And when we book our films through what's called the Film Booker from the major studios. And, you know, it was on my list. And I said, you know, Jeffrey, as soon as we can get this film, let's get it in. And so every year we try to get films that we think will be the best films of the year. You know, if we've seen it at Sundance, we've seen it at Telluride. And so we do try to get them in before the Academy Awards. So sometimes it's a little bit of luck. Sometimes it's just, you know, picking the right film at the right time. And this year was such an abbreviated Academy Award season because they had the nominations in mid-January. And then 4 weeks later in early February, which was a month earlier than usual, they had the awards ceremony. And of course, for us, Sundance hits in the middle of that. So we tried to squeeze them in before Sundance. And now we're kind of playing catch up a little bit in terms of playing the films that were nominated.
Okay. Real quick, the Zen Speaker is coming up March 19th. What's this about?
So the Zen Speaker, Breaking the Silence, this is part of our Real Community series. So a free screening we're presenting in partnership with the Peace House. And this is about Amy Ayoub, who is a businesswoman in Nevada. And she was, unfortunately, a victim of human trafficking. And it's really a story about her finding her voice to speak her truth. She went up in front of the Nevada State Legislature after being silent for 20 years about her past to help pass some legislation that would allow victims of human trafficking to prosecute the people that had, you know, trafficked them. So it's a really powerful film, and we'll have a Q&A after the film with the director, Robin Greenspun, and Amy Ayoub will be on site as well. And she's just such a passionate woman, so... She's also a motivational speaker, so is really able to tell her story in an incredible way. So we're excited to have that happen, and that'll be a free screening as well.
And how does that work? If somebody does have a film or an issue that they'd like to be part of the Community Real Seals, they just need to contact you?
Yes, absolutely. It used to be when I first started out that people would come up and say, here's the film, and you know, we just put it on. We didn't have kind of a great strategy, I would say, towards that. And as we've kind of grown our programming and we've gotten more requests from nonprofit partners, you know, we really look fairly closely at what we're able to do so that we're able to bring, you know, our best resources and a lot of visibility to each of these partnerships. And so we try to vary the themes. Certainly as we come into, you know, later in the month, we'll be showing Bedlam with Connect about the mental health system. And that's something, a film that premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. As we get into April, we'll be looking at more kind of conservation-oriented films to kind of follow with Earth Month. And so, you know, we do look at the time of year and look at our partnerships, but we also look at our resources and make sure that we are bringing our best to other screenings. But yeah, absolutely, if anyone wants to partner with us, you know, that's part of what we do and, you know, a great asset that we bring to the community.
Okay. Hey, Katie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Katie Wang is the Executive Director of Park City Film. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW.